For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. That's quite a statement there, isn't it? Foolish God. Some of you must have read that sermon title and wondered, what is the pastor talking about today? God's not foolish. God is wise, all-powerful, all-knowing, all that stuff. I don't know what all that stuff is in Latin, but all that stuff. God is beyond anything that we can understand. Let me take you back for a moment to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and the story of Adam and Eve. And what tree did they eat from but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And so in their sin, defying God, they came to know good and evil. But because they did not have the wisdom of God, all they saw was good and evil in terms of themselves. We look at the world and say, oh, that's bad, because when we eat it, it tastes bad. Ooh, that's good, because when we eat it, it tastes good. Oh, that'll be fun. Oh, I don't want to do that. We see everything in terms of moi, me. What do I want? What do I like? What do I do? What do I feel? How am I going? What am I doing? And that's very human, but that's not very divine. It is only when we become foolish in the sense of stopping measuring everything in terms of what do I get and start to look at things from the point of view of what about everybody else? What about other people? I mean, it begins with the people that we care about in our lives, the people we love, our families, our friends, our immediate circle. But as we study God's Word and we listen to God's concepts and precepts and begin to understand His point of view, then we begin to see that if all people are children of God, and I'm a child of God, then that means everybody out there is my brother or sister, and I should care about them the way I care about my brothers and sisters. I should worry about other people the way I worry about my own family. I should be concerned about their struggles the way I would be concerned about my son or my daughter or my nieces or my nephews or other people that I know well and love and care for. God loves, cares for all of us the way we would love and care for our own family. But He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He understands the whole thing. Those of you who like to work with your hands and make stuff and make things work, notice I said make things work, you know how it is to try and make things work. We bust knuckles and we cuss and fuss and fume and get frustrated because that thing just doesn't want to work the way I want it to work. We make things that we have to make work. God makes things such that they work all by themselves. And they make more things that work all by themselves. We don't have to do anything to make God's world work. Somebody the other day was talking about spiritual principles. And they picked up a principle and said, God, don't let this fall. And it fell. Well, what if God answered that prayer? If that didn't fall, then nothing would fall. And pretty soon, all of us and all this stuff and everything that we hold dear would be flying off into space. Gravity is a spiritual principle. We, in our earthly wisdom, try and understand how it works. God understands why it works. God put all this here, made it all like it is, together as a wonderful world for us to live in. And what do? We chop it down. We plow it up. We try and make it do what we want it to do instead of it letting it do what it wants to do. We take perfectly good living trees, kill them, chop them up, plane them down, nail them together with pieces of iron, and then call them pews or walls or ceilings or roofs. We change everything so it'll work the way we want it to. And then what happens? Well, if we don't keep working on it, it'll fall down. If we don't keep maintaining the church, 100 years from now, there'll just be a pile of stuff here. We want to make things happen. We don't want to let things happen. But when we begin to walk in the Spirit, when we begin to listen to God tell us what's going on, we begin to let things happen. And there are few things more exciting than letting Him live in your life. Because when He starts to live in your life, you start to do foolish things that have divine purpose. We start to do crazy stuff that has powerful results. For someone to let themselves be crucified on a cross would seem to us, from a human point of view, to be insane. For someone to preach the gospel when they know that that could cost them their life would, from a human point of view, seem crazy. For people to smuggle Bibles into countries where that is illegal and face the possibility of getting locked up for bringing books into a country doesn't make much sense from an earthly point of view. Why would people risk their lives? Why would people risk their freedom? Why would people risk everything to spread God's word if they were concerned about themselves? It's when we begin to serve God that we begin to see that it's not our self in an earthly sense that's important. In serving others, we serve God. Phil talked about salty service and struggled with, well, what exactly makes service salty? Salt for people in those days was something that was miraculous. If you salted meat, it did not rot. How'd that work? They didn't know. But they knew that if they put salt on it, not only did it not rot, but it brought out all these wonderful flavors. Wow. A wondrous, miraculous thing. But then sometimes they put salt on it and the salt had lost its flavor. It wasn't good. It wasn't really salty. What made the difference? They didn't understand. They didn't know. And so they saw that sometimes, especially if you got the salt wet, it didn't work very well. You ever heard people being called salt of the earth? Good folks, Christian folks, the kind of folks that if you need something, they're there for you. If you're hurting, they open their door to you. If you need a drink of water, they'll go in and get you a big tumbler. Probably put some ice in. The kind of folks you can count on. The kind of folks who care about things. The kind of folks who are, you know, they're not fancy. They're not elaborate. They're not interested so much in stuff. But they're just there and willing to do whatever needs to be done. The kind of folks who don't have to be first, but when you need help, they're always there. The kind of folks who don't have to be praised or printed in the bulletin or, you know, have their name up in lights, but when something needs to be done, they're always there and they brought their own tools. The kind of folks who, when times are tough, they show up at your door with a cake or a casserole or, you know, a ham or not ask, just they saw a need. Salty service is the kind of service that people give out of love. We give a lot of service for other reasons. We serve the public when it's our job. We serve the, you know, boss when we're told to. We do things that we feel we have to or we must or we need to or we want the reward for. But when we do service out of love, just because we see that there's a need there and we want to fill that need, we don't care whether anybody knows or not. We don't care whether anybody thanks us or not. We don't care whether anybody even notices or not. We just do it because it needs to be done. That, to me, is salty service. Those people, to me, are the salt of the earth. That, to me, is what we need to strive to be, to do, to be God's hands in the field, to serve Him, to help people in need, to reach out to people who don't understand or love God or feel His love the way we do and share with them stories of how we feel and what we've been through and what we've gotten in our lives from loving Him. Not so that everybody can say, oh, you did such a great job there, but because we've been changed, been transformed, been healed, been helped, been able to suffer insufferable difficulties because of Him in our lives, we want everybody to know that they too can be blessed with those blessings. And so we share. And so we give. And so we work. And so we do whatever needs to be done. Sometimes people notice, but we don't do it to be noticed. Sometimes people thank us, but we don't do it to be thanked. Sometimes people pay us, but we don't do it for the pay. We do it just because it needs to get done. And we care. We care. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The peace that comes beyond all understanding, that even death has no power over us. The joy that comes beyond all understanding, that we are loved no matter what, no matter where, no matter who, God still loves us. The power to change. To change our lives, to change who we are, to change what we do, to become Christ-like, to become like someone who would give His very life for those He loved and who loved everybody. That's salty service.